Welcome to the Crown Council Mentor of the Month program. I'm Steve Anderson. We're here in Fort Worth, Texas today at Cook Children's Medical Center. And we're in the Child Life Zone that many of you helped raise the money to build, where kids come every day to have a little better life. I'm here today with our mentor this month, Rick Merrill. Rick is the CEO of Cook Children's and has been in healthcare his entire career. What's significant is that Cook Children's has been named one of the top children's medical networks in the United States by U.S. News and World Report. Rick has been named one of the top executives in the industry, and we're excited today for him to be able to share some of his wisdom and leadership experience with all of us in the Crown Council. So, Rick, thanks for being with us today.
Well, I appreciate being here with you as well.
I thought, for the benefit of everyone that's here, so that everybody knows, we're actually in the Child Life Zone that Crown Council members help raise the money, and the Teammates for Kids we helped build together with all of you. And later on, we'll talk a little bit about what goes on here and the whole setup. It's really a remarkable place. I was sharing with you before we got started my personal experience here at Cook Children's several years ago, when we brought one of our daughters into the emergency room and had just an amazing experience. And as I talked to the nurse when we were into the experience about an hour and a half, and I commented to her on how well we've been taken care of and just the high degree of personal touch. And I asked her how it was that that happened and if that was just we are an exception, or if that's how it always happened. And she said, this is always how it happens here. And I said, why is that? How does that work? And she said, well, it starts with the guy at the top. And she said, he's here, he knows who we are, he shows up on a regular basis. And she said, we take as good a care of our patients as he takes care of us, which I thought was a great unsolicited endorsement of your leadership. You've been in healthcare a long time, and when you came here, you inherited a great hospital, a great medical network. You've made it even better. But maybe you could share with us when you first got started here at Cook's, what was one of the first things that you did as you took a look at the culture and everything that was going on? What did you do from a leadership standpoint to help communicate where it needed to go and what needed to happen?
Sure. Well, it's a great story, and I hadn't heard that before, so I appreciate you sharing that. And it is always good to get confirmation that you're doing some things right. You know, when I arrived here a little over 5 years ago, Cook had, like many organizations, a mission statement and a vision statement. And since we have overachievers here, we had meta strategies and overarching principles and all these elements that pointed to our vision and our deep purpose. But as I began to speak to audiences, both internal and external, about our mission, vision, and meta-strategies and overarching principles, I found myself having to describe the difference between a meta-strategy and overarching principle and what a vision versus a mission is. And as I began to get into all the complexities of that, eyes would glaze over in the audience, and then my eyes would glaze over. And it became so clear to me that we were losing our deep sense of purpose and the complexity of what we were trying to say. And so, to me, one of the very first things, very important to start out on the right foot to keep this culture moving forward in a very positive direction, was to simplify our deep sense of purpose, our message. So we went through a series of retreats with our board members, our medical staff, our staff throughout the entire system, different companies, and we took all of those elements and we boiled them down into what we simply call our promise. So we no longer have meta strategies and overarching principles and a mission and vision, we just simply have our promise. And our promise is straightforward, knowing that every child's life is sacred. It is the promise of Cook Children's to improve the health of every child through the prevention and treatment of illness, disease, and injury. So, simply stated, our job is to make a difference in the health status of children in our service area so that by the year 2020, Fort Worth and the surrounding area would be known as one of the healthiest places in the nation to raise a child. Now, promise, by the way, is a very powerful word. It's a word we landed on because not only does a 70-year-old grandparent understand promise, but a 6-year-old understands promise. Okay, pinky promise.
That's right.
But they get it. And I was reflecting on this after we kind of went through this process and just thinking about it. And the thought occurred to me that, you know, when Martin Luther King was standing on the steps in Washington, D.C., He didn't stand there and say, I have a strategic plan with meta strategies and overarching principles.
Right.
He would have lost his audience.
Yeah.
What he did was he used a very powerful word, a word that started a movement across the country. And so we hope that promise, too, is a very powerful word, a word that will start a movement not just across our service area but across the entire United States, and all of children's hospitals can work in a way that we really make a difference in children before they get to the point where we have difficulty taking care of some of their illnesses and disease. To put it another way, in healthcare, to use the analogy, as healthcare providers, we typically stand on the side of the river. Again, the analogy, patients are coming by, they're drowning, we pull them out, we resuscitate them, we send them down the road, here comes another one, do the same thing. Well, why aren't we going upstream to find out why they're falling in the river to begin with and keep them from falling in the river? And that's what the promise is all about. So when an organization has this deep sense of purpose with very powerful words like promise, then it's a rally point for everyone in the organization to come around and know that if we fulfill that promise, we've done something really remarkable for the patients and the families that we serve.
So you set the course with the promise. Now, 5 years into it, how do you keep the organization on track so that you stay true to the promise? What do you do?
Yeah, so I think one thing I always do is show up for every orientation. Most CEOs probably don't, because it's a lot of time.
Is that patient or employee?
Employees.
Employee,
every new employee, every other week we have employee orientation for the new employees. And I use that as an opportunity to meet all of them, let them know who I am, but set that one expectations. In fact, I often use the line in City Slickers, you know, when Curly says you got to figure out that one thing. Mm-hmm. I tell them at orientation, if you forget everything in orientation, you must remember the promise. And you come to work every day asking yourself, what do I need to do to help this organization fulfill the promise that it has made to the community? So reemphasizing the promise, giving updates to our employees on how we are progressing and some of the issues that we've identified through surveys that we've done. And we've done two household surveys now over the last 5 years, in which we've surveyed over 22,000 households. So we know exactly what the health issues are, where they are. And that allows us then to hone in on those issues and go to work on moving the health needle, the status of those children. Communication is just absolutely important. I probably over-communicate, if that's possible. We have town hall meetings on a regular basis. And not only do we give them updates on where we are with the promise, but we also talk about strategy. If I've learned nothing at all, I've certainly learned that employees, certainly very, very smart people, and they want to know that they have job security, not just tomorrow, but the day after tomorrow. Right. And if they know that the organization is doing the right thing strategically to not just survive, but thrive in the service area, in the market, then some magical things can happen. And the last thing I would say is role clarification is just really important. If everyone understands the role that they play and how they can make a contribution to fulfilling the promise and to driving the great outcomes, both quality and safety in this organization that we have, that's when magical things can start to happen. And that's what we really try and do here, communicate frequently, regularly, often, and make sure that everyone understands their role, and we make sure we set the expectation, the clear expectation on the front end as people enter the organization.
So you mentioned the survey. Give us an example of, you know, one or two things that you're doing to prevent people from falling into the river, as you called it in the first place, that maybe they weren't doing 5 years ago.
Sure, sure. So two issues. There were a few of them. Asthma is the number one issue facing our children in our 6-county major primary service area.
Yeah.
About 18 to 19% of the patient population, 0 to 14, have asthma.
Wow.
It's amazing. And so we've been working very hard at taking care of patients who are called frequent flyers in the emergency department that mm-hmm. might show up more than twice a year or three or four times a year.
You don't have a reward program,
and
I hope.
Well, no, but we are working with them and trying to get them into a preventive home primary care setting so that we can begin to understand why they aren't managing their asthma and start to work with the family and the child so that we keep them out of the ED, keep them healthy and at home. Dental issues, believe it or not, is obviously a very big issue in our service area. And so we've been working with a number of organizations, Save a Smile and others, to where we are trying to make sure that every child has a toothbrush, And we're trying to deal with the prevention side of this rather than deal with it on the back end. We are also looking in the future to build a new urgent care facility close to the campus in which we'll have some dental services. So for emergent dental care after hours, and then through that, get them connected to dentists in town on a preventive basis and through our network of social and medical caseworkers who can really work with those families from a prevention standpoint. It really is about prevention, and if we can create medical homes for families so that they feel like that's their doctor, they can go to that doctor, and they don't have to wait till it's too late to show up at the emergency department, then we can get ahead of some of these issues that we see facing our children in our service area.
Fantastic. You're all about simplification. Simplicity is powerful. Obviously, that's what you've proven. I'm sure with an organization this big with thousands of employees and 60-some-odd offices in Tarrant County that it's easy for people to complicate what you've tried to simplify. How do you keep everybody on the path of simplicity and focused on the promise when the tendency might be to complicate it?
Yeah, well, you know, like any organization, complications do tend to creep into our daily workflow and the plans and the strategy that we have. And so we actually try and on a regular basis right the compass, if you will, to make sure that we aren't trying to chase a bunch of rabbits down rabbit holes. Mm-hmm. And it really comes down to majoring in the majors and not in the minors. There's plenty of work for everyone to do to the point where we could all work here 24/7, 365 days a year, and we still couldn't get all the work done. I think that's true in most businesses. The key, though, is to really make sure that the team and the organization is really focused on the majors, do those really well. I'd rather us do two or three things exceptionally well than try and do 20 things halfway.
Right.
And so making sure that from a strategic perspective, from a directive perspective, all of the things that we do, we get that compass set, we reset, hit the reset button occasionally, make sure that we continue to focus on the majors and not on the minors.
Got it. And you have to take corrective action, I'm sure, on an occasional basis to keep everybody
well focused. And even on the majors, I mean, it's easy to get locked into this is what we're going to do. But the fact of the matter is, great organizations will make course corrections as they need. You know, Apollo 11 on its way to the moon, I think, made over 300 course corrections in order to make sure they hit the right orbit on the moon. Mm-hmm. Had they not made those corrections, then one of two things would have happened. They would have either flown right past the moon and died frozen in lack of oxygen in deep space,
right,
or they would have flown right into the moon and died on impact. So you've got to be willing to make course corrections as the market dictates or as you see a shifting market. But nonetheless, it still makes it makes all the sense in the world to make sure you still major in those 5 to 6, 3 to 4, whatever it is, major initiatives, and you keep everyone focused on those instead of having to move in 20 different directions trying to do too many things. You know, the greatest enemy of our best is the good we often settle for. And it's so easy to settle for good instead of for best. And so I think a challenge for all of us, but especially for me, is to make sure that this organization never settles for good, but we're always pushing to strive for the absolute best.
So when I came in this morning, you were dressed a little bit differently. You had your golf shirt on, and you were announcing the first winners of your Cook It contest. Will you tell us about that? Because that has all to do with staying on track and doing better. Tell us about that initiative.
Well, clearly, you know, as we move into a very uncertain future with the Affordable Care Act and lots of movement in the market, mergers and acquisitions and all kinds of providers trying to figure out how to work together. Our focus really at Cook has been on the sure bets, no regrets with all that uncertainty. And so one of those sure bets, no regrets is to make sure that we have one of the most cost-effective children's hospitals in the country. And it's easy for all of us in administration and leadership to sit up in our offices and think that we've got all the answers and let's do this, let's do that, let's, you know, this team will do that, we'll make them do this. But the truth is, We only know a little bit of what really goes on here in this organization. The folks on the front end or the front line who really are making things happen every day really know where the opportunities are. And so true to our nature of involving everyone where we can in making decisions about our future, we invited through a program called Cook It, in which all employees have the opportunity to submit their ideas on ways that we can improve quality, safety, or improve the cost effectiveness of Cook. And we've taken all those ideas, and we're going to have rewards once a quarter. The top three get cash rewards. And then at the end of the year, we'll actually have three grand prizes as well. And it's an opportunity for us to let everyone know we want to hear from you. Your voice is important to us. We know that you are tuned into a lot of opportunities. Share those ideas with us. All of us working together can make a difference. And that's exactly what Cook It is all about. So, yes, I was able to get out of my monkey suit for a little while and wear my golf shirt and have some fun with the program.
Some of these, the three winning ideas were relative. I mean, some were pretty simple. I mean, not real earth-shattering, but will make a big difference across the board. Could you share a couple of those, what they are, just to give everybody a flavor?
Well, I'll share with you one idea, and it came from one of our physicians, which was a remarkable idea. There's a joke. There's a hospital joke that the most expensive equipment in the entire hospital is, and then you pull out your pen and you say it's the physician's pen.
Yeah.
Because the physician orders the utilization. They order right. The CAT scans, the MRIs, all those things that cost money. Well, those physicians have opportunities to practice efficient medicine, and when you look at the pharmaceutical orders that they put in for patients, there are generic drugs, but there are also other drugs that are similar to something that I might be thinking of that cost half the price of that drug. And so putting some alerts into our electronic medical record system that allows the physician to understand that, okay, I can order this drug, but there's this other drug that's equally efficacious, but it's a third the cost of this other one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to order this one. And it gives them that opportunity to see exactly through the work of our pharmacist and our IT system, the opportunity to save some dollars, still making the right choices on drugs, on pharmaceuticals, but having that information in front of them will help them make more cost-effective decisions. So that's one of the ideas. Simple, easy way to approach this, easy idea to implement. So, again, ask the question, and you might be surprised at what you learn.
Now, I think there was another one about identifying if you were going to the soap dispenser or the hand sanitizer dispenser. That was another one of them, I think, that...
Well, yeah, it's interesting. There's hand sanitizers and there's soap dispensers, and sometimes you get a little confused. And the hand sanitizer, you can just walk by the hallway and, you know, get your hands all sanitized and keep going. And the soap dispensers, you kind of do this and go, "Oops, where's the water?"
That didn't work so well,
and
yeah.
So just identifying what's what is helpful. And again, simple ideas, but they can make a real difference when it's all said and done.
So you had 300 some ideas submitted first round. Mm-hmm. Of those 300, how many, as you went through them, are going to be implemented?
Well, hard to say. You know, obviously, great ideas across the board, and you wish you could award more than three, but that's what we've set, and we want to hold to kind of we set this up. That's the 367th caller right there wanting to make sure their idea got submitted.
You got it.
I can't say for sure, but my guess is that we'll probably implement 50 to 75% of those ideas.
Got it. If I'm a frontline team member, whether I'm cleaning the halls or working in the ER or anything else that I do, how do I know if I'm on promise? In other words, what's the feedback I get that you build into the system so that I know whether or not I'm sticking to the promise?
Yeah. So like any organization, if it's set right, you've got your deep sense of purpose, your mission, or in our case, our promise. That should drive the major strategic initiatives, right? So those initiatives then have to have more tactics that, or the day-to-day tactics or month, week-to-week tactics that really underpin the strategy that ultimately underpins your purpose. But when it's all said and done, every employee doing their job with excellence, making sure that if they have tactical goals that are in front of them, they succeed in those. But think about it. If you've got a very busy emergency department and you're a housekeeper and you're helping us turn those rooms quickly, efficiently, then that allows us to get more patients seen in the emergency department and up to the floor and taken care of quicker. The last thing we want to do is say to patients, you have an 8-hour wait in the emergency department, or we can't take care of you because our operating room schedule is full. You're going to have to go to another hospital. Kind of hard to fulfill a promise if you're not able to meet the capacity demands that are placed on us. So everyone doing their role with excellence really ultimately helps us fulfill the promise, in addition to some of the specific initiatives that are tied to the health issues that we've identified. So it's all of it coming together, underpinning our promise that we've made.
You've led several healthcare organizations, and in the context of the group that we're talking to today, all private practice dentists that are leading their own organization of different sizes, if there's any one thing that you've learned about leadership over your career that has been the most meaningful or the most important to you, what would that be?
That's a great question, and I probably could answer that two or three ways, but I will tell you probably one of the most meaningful truths that I've caught in my 29 years of this business. Human beings are multidimensional, and it's easy to get caught up in the heat of the moment and make decisions that really ultimately aren't in the organization's best interest or your best interest. And if you think about that multidimensional nature of human beings, there's really three layers. There's the intellect, there's the emotional piece, and then there's the heart piece. Mm-hmm. And the intellect is just simply the facts. You know, you have the facts before you, and you know that 2 + 2 = 4, and you make the decision and you move down the road. The emotional piece, on the other hand, is it's screaming at us often. It's loud. Mm-hmm. It's trying to ultimately get us to do things that we probably shouldn't do. And it's way out in front of us, just kind of always there when we're into situations where the emotion comes through. The heart piece of it, though, is very quiet. It's unassuming. But that's where the best decisions are made, because it's, even though quiet and unassuming, it's way out in front of what the decision should be. And in fact, let me put it this way. How many times have you gone through a decision or been working through a decision in which you say, you know, I can't tell you why, but I know this is the right decision. My heart's telling me that this is the right decision. You make that decision, and then a year later, it all becomes clear why that was the right decision for you. And I think it's easy in leadership to get tied up in the emotional piece of a decision and make a decision based on emotion or just simply the intellect. But I think the best decisions for an organization are simply made in the heart. And if people can learn to hear the heart and make decisions based upon that, I think that really can make a difference in leadership and ultimately the success of an organization. Perspective, I think, is the other big piece for me in terms of a takeaway. That can make all the difference in the world. Gosh, if I went to the doctor and the doctor said, gosh, Rick, we're so sorry, you have cancer, you have 6 months to live, what do? You go home, you emotionally work through it, you get your affairs in order, but then 4 weeks later, the newscaster comes on and he says, well, there's a meteor heading for Earth, and in 2 days, all of humankind will be destroyed. Well, how do you feel about your cancer? Not important anymore, right? You're more focused on something else. Perspective, in the heat of the moment, or just in the role of leadership, is so important, not just for yourself, but to communicate that perspective to the organization. So those are just a couple of takeaways, deep truths for me that I think have been helpful for me in my years of being in a leadership position.
Great. We are in the zone, and which affectionately called the Child Life Zone. Could you share with everybody just a quick summary of what Child Life in general is about?
Sure.
in a medical center, children's medical center, and what its purpose is, and then we'll come back and talk about the zone itself. But Child Life in general, what purpose does it fill?
So, children obviously don't want to be sick, and they certainly don't want to be in a hospital when they're sick. And what we have found through this Child Life Zone is it provides a venue, an area, where a child can get out of their room, out of the hurt the painful procedures that sometimes they have to endure, the emotional piece of being in a hospital, and get into an area, a zone, where they can just be a kid again. This is a no-owie zone, by the way. No shots are allowed in here. No medicines are allowed in here. This is a place where they can go and make their own decisions about what they want to do.
And in fact, I don't think you'll ever see a doctor or nurse in here, will you?
If they come in here, they're going to have to take their coat off and be a child.
That's good. That's what this is
all about. And thanks to so many wonderful people, what you guys have done to help us create this incredible zone. Of course, the Teammates for Kids, Garth Brooks and Troy Aikman and those folks, everyone working together to help us create this zone. And there are a lot of child life zones in a number of children's hospitals. Few of them have some added elements, is what we put on here, which is the TV studio that we are in today.
Yes.
A full-blown TV studio and also a recording studio. And the idea came as we were thinking about, children who have lots of difficulty expressing themselves when they're going through some chronic conditions or even some terminal conditions. And if we could create a venue where we could allow them to begin to start expressing some of their emotion, letting that out, come out in a way that's therapeutic and good for them. But also on top of that, why not create a venue for a child who wants to be a country star or a rock star or a pop star? And by the way, who doesn't? Who hadn't wanted to do that right, when they're a child? And create this experience for them so that no matter what the outcome, even if it's a unexpected outcome or a terminal outcome, we can have a way to memorialize a moment with that child that we can give to their mom and dad. So it's really a remarkable thing for us to be able to have this venue here. And we've got a child library. We have a teen zone. If you're 12 and older, you can go on that with all kinds of video games and just ways to hang out. Yeah. And we, by the way, listened very carefully to the teenagers on what they wanted for the teen zone. Because we wanted to hit the mark on what their expectations were. In this recording studio, not only do we have entertainment for children that are in the hospital that are piped up to their televisions, game shows, those kinds of things, interviews we can do here. We can use it for so many venues. And we've just seen this as a remarkable outlet for children to come and just, again, be a child and be themselves and get out of the mundane part of being in a children's hospital.
So recording studios right behind us, that's the sound booth.
That's right.
And here's the TV studio, and the kids will broadcast the news from here.
They can broadcast the news. As I said, we can have game shows. We have a green screen and can put you standing behind Niagara Falls or on the moon or wherever it is that we want to put you. And it's the technology, of course, today is beyond my comprehension. But we think that it's just served us so well and the children that we're trying to take care of. And it's, again, give them that remarkable outlet that they so much need.
So in many children's medical centers, Child Life has employees that go out into the patient's rooms and in the emergency room when they're needed to kind of help make things smoother. But the zone provides an actual space where the kids can come here and get away from their illness and get away from the medicine for a little bit and do something kid-like.
No question. And in our child life specialists, they are magical in how they deal with these children and help them go through the situation, help explain to them in ways that a child can understand the procedure that they're going to go through, to be with them, to hold their hand through it if that's what they need, and just be their friend. It's really remarkable the gift that they bring to the table and what they can help us with. This whole first floor is a family amenity zone, so it's not just for mom and dad or for the children as we see here in the zone, but we have a Starbucks, a full-blown Starbucks, so we have a Build-A-Bear, full-blown Build-A-Bear in here. We have a yogurt shop, a cafeteria that's just unbelievably nice, and it's just an opportunity for the whole family to come down here and get out of the room and out of the daily routine of what goes on inside a hospital. And so we're trying to make it an experience for the family and the child so that ultimately my goal is reached, and that is when every child gets ready to be discharged at Cook Children's, they look to their mom and dad and they say, I don't want to go. I want to stay here. When we've done that, we know we've done something special.
I'll tell you, my first experience in a zone was years ago and with one of our daughters, and the only memento she has of that hospital stay, which lasted 4 days, was the photograph that was taken in the zone, and they airbrushed all the tubes that were coming out of her nose and her mouth, and she had stuff coming all out. But they airbrushed it all out and dressed her up like a little cowgirl, and she still has that picture.
Yeah.
And to this day, she's now 16, she will say, I love the zone, but I don't want to go back to the hospital. I love yeah. that experience. That was the yeah. the saving yeah. part of that whole experience. So yeah. it's, I think, one of the things that I really didn't realize until we started working together on this is how important child life is to the whole medical experience and everything that happens, from just the child life specialists that go in to make the whole process more humane and help the kids go through the whole process to what happens here, so they have a place to go that allows the whole experience to be so much better. So we're excited to be working together and appreciate your time sharing with us your leadership experience as well as the opportunity to work together to make things better for the kids. We are coming back to Dallas-Fort Worth in January for our yeah. annual event, and we're hoping that you'll be able to join us for a little bit anyway so that everybody can meet you firsthand. So.
Well, I would love to do that, and I hopefully through the event you can find some time to offer up an open invitation to those who are in attendance to come and come by and see the zone, because we'd love to show them our zone.
You got it.
And the
so
entire
much.
Hospital for that matter.
You got it. Thanks, Rick, for your time, and thanks for your partnership.
My pleasure.
Sure.